Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring Lesson 3.2, Misinformation, Fake News, and Manipulated Content. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill. So, to kick things off, I was thinking about how we used to view the internet.
Oh, yeah, like the whole information superhighway thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like this massive, constantly updating library where you could just go and find whatever facts you needed.
Right, neatly organized.
Right. But today, it feels more like someone sneaked in overnight and completely mixed up the fiction and nonfiction sections. You know, they just threw all the books on the floor.
That is a really good way to put it, actually. It is completely jumbled.
Which means that navigating this digital space, I mean, separating what's real from what's entirely made up, it isn't just a neat trick anymore. It's a vital modern skill for, well, for anyone.
Oh, absolutely. It is foundational. And I think to really get into this, we need to make sure we're using the right terminology, right? Because people tend to just throw these words around interchangeably.
Yeah, like calling everything you disagree with fake news.
Exactly. So let's reintroduce these core concepts just to establish a solid foundation for you as we go deeper. First, you have misinformation.
Okay, and that one is?
So misinformation is simply false or inaccurate information that gets shared without proper verification.
Right.
The key here is there's usually no malice, you know, it's accidental. Then you have fake news, which is very different.
Because fake news is intentional, right?
Yes, exactly. Fake news is intentionally misleading. It's fabricated information that is specifically presented to look like real news. They use like sensational language and emotional hooks to trick you.
Like pretending to be a real journalism outlet.
Yep. And then the third one, which is getting really tricky lately, is manipulated content.
Oh, yeah. The altered stuff.
Right. Manipulated content is when you take something real, like an image, a video, maybe a headline, or even just some statistics, and you alter them to mislead people.
Got it. Okay, so misinformation, fake news, and manipulated content. I have a question, though, because, I mean, why is this distinction so incredibly crucial right now? Like, hasn't false information always been around?
Well, yes, rumors have always existed, but what makes this completely different right now is the speed, the sheer velocity of modern communication.
You mean social media, messaging apps, things like that?
Exactly. I mean, think about video platforms. Information used to operate on a human scale, right?
Yeah.
If there was a rumor in an office, it took days to spread. You could stop and say, hey, is this actually true?
There was friction.
Exactly, natural friction. Today, that friction is entirely gone. A misleading headline or, you know, a manipulated video can reach millions of people in minutes. And the real-world consequences of that speed are just severe. We're talking about mass confusion, fear, outright panic. It leads people to make really poor decisions, you know, both personally and professionally.
Which causes major social division.
Right, social division and massive reputational harm for individuals and organizations.
But let me push back on that just a little bit because, you know, isn't it usually pretty obvious when something is fake? Like if I see a badly photoshopped image of a UFO over a city, my brain just instantly knows it's nonsense.
Sure, your brain catches the obvious stuff. Because a UFO doesn't trigger a real emotional response, right? It just registers as a joke. But fake news specifically targets our psychology.
Our psychology, how do you mean?
Well, it uses extremely emotional or sensational language. It wants to make you angry or terrified or outraged. And when you feel those intense emotions, it actually bypasses your logical filters.
Oh, wow. So you don't even get the chance to be logical about it.
Exactly. It hijacks the part of your brain that would normally say, wait, is this real? And that is exactly what leads to those poor decisions and societal divisions. It plays on our biases before we even realize what's happening.
So it's basically weaponizing our own emotions against us.
It really is, yeah.
Okay, so turning this back to you, the listener,
mm-hmm.
How do you actually navigate this without feeling completely overwhelmed? Because it sounds exhausting.
It can be, yeah.
I like to think of it kind of like inspecting a suspicious email. Right. Before you click forward or download an attachment, you pause and look for red flags.
That is a perfect analogy. Yes, you have to treat it like a suspicious email. And there are specific strategies for verification you can use so you don't get tricked.
Let's break those down. What's the first strategy?
First, you have to check publication dates. That is huge for establishing context.
But just looking at when it was actually published.
Right. Second, you need to examine headlines critically. Don't just react to the headline, because they are often designed to enrage you. actually read the context, and third, verify the information against trusted, established sources.
I want to go back to that first one for a second about the publication dates, because how can checking a date completely change the context of a story? If the facts were true then, are they true now?
That is such a great question. So imagine a completely accurate old news story about, say, a severe storm causing a local power grid failure 5 years ago.
Okay. Real event, real reporting.
Right, totally real. But then, during a completely unrelated event today, someone shares that five-year-old article on social media out of context to make it look like the power grid is failing right now.
Oh, man. And because it's from a legitimate news site, people believe it.
Exactly. The news was accurate, but sharing it out of context during a current event turns it into misinformation. People panic, they share it, and all because they didn't check the tiny timestamp at the top of the article.
That is wild. Yeah. It's so simple, but it completely changes everything.
It really does.
So let's put this into a real-world context for you, mm-hmm. especially thinking about your future career. What does this look like on, you know, a typical Tuesday at the office?
Well, let's say you're a young professional, maybe working in corporate communications or supply chain, and you come across a manipulated image circulating online.
Okay, an altered image.
Yeah, or maybe it's a suspicious statistic claiming your company's flagship product has a massive safety flaw. It's gaining traction fast on an industry forum.
Oh, that would be terrifying. Your heart would just drop.
Exactly. Your instinct is to panic. You want to flack your manager, sound the alarm, you know, halt everything, because this could cause severe reputational harm to your organization.
Right. You want to be the hero who caught the crisis early.
But if you just react and share it internally without verifying it, you actually become part of the crisis. You spread the panic to your executives, and suddenly the company is making major decisions based on a fake image.
So what should this person do instead?
In our scenario, this professional actually stops the spread. They take a breath, and they compare the manipulated content with verified reporting.
They do the work.
Right. They check with trusted media organizations, or maybe they just call their own internal quality assurance team.
Just taking those 5 minutes to verify.
Exactly. And they find out it's entirely fabricated. So instead of causing a panic, they report that it's a coordinated fake news campaign. And taking that step, verifying before reacting it, massively improves your accuracy and your credibility in a professional setting.
You become the most reliable person in the room.
Exactly. You show real leadership.
That is so important. And, you know, going back to the definition of misinformation we talked about earlier, it explicitly says it's shared without verification.
Right.
Which means the act of sharing without checking is literally built into the definition. Doesn't that kind of make us all, you know, potential accidental contributors to digital harm?
It does. It absolutely does. If we aren't careful, we are all vectors for this stuff.
That is a heavy thought.
It is, but it brings up this ethical imperative of digital safety. Building awareness about fake news isn't just about protecting yourself from looking silly or making poor decisions.
Right. It's bigger than that.
It's much bigger. When you improve your own responsible sharing habits, you are directly reducing digital harm for everyone else in your network. You are protecting your family, your colleagues, your friends from being manipulated.
So I want to pause and pose a reflection prompt directly to you, the listener, right now. Just something to really ponder today. How can I become more responsible and critical when consuming and sharing online information?
That is the core question, really.
It is. Like, think about the last time you forwarded something just because it made you laugh or made you angry. Did you verify it?
It's a tough habit to break, but we need to move from theory to tangible habits.
Yes, exactly. Let's talk about actual habits. What can we do?
Well, one practical thing I recommend is to actively review examples of fake headlines, misleading posts, or, you know, manipulated images.
So, like, study them.
Yeah, study them. Look at suspicious statistics. The more you look at the architecture of how these fakes are built, the more you train your eye to identify the warning signs naturally.
Oh, that makes sense. It's like a mechanic listening to a broken engine so they know what a bad belt sounds like.
Exactly. You build pattern recognition.
So what about tools? What actual practical tools can the listener bookmark right now to help them verify things?
Okay, there are a few really great ones. First, for suspicious images, you should always use Google Reverse Image Search.
Oh, yeah. Reverse Image Search is amazing.
It really is. It lets you upload a photo and see where else it's been published on the internet. So if someone claims a photo is from a protest happening today, but the search shows it was actually published 3 years ago in a different country.
Boom. You instantly know it's being used out of context.
Exactly. Another great tool is Snopes. They are excellent for debunking viral claims and urban legends.
Snopes has been around forever. They're super reliable.
They really are. And finally, AFP Fact Check. They are fantastic for international news and more complex, manipulated content.
I love when fact checkers actually show their work, you know, like how they figured it out.
Yes. And making these tools a habit, just checking them before you share something, it builds so much digital confidence. You stop feeling like a victim of the algorithm and start feeling empowered.
Absolutely. Mastering these skills, you know, checking the dates, using reverse image search, it leads to such informed thinking. You become more adaptable.
You really do. Because the tactics will change, the technology will get better, but critical evaluation is a lifelong learning process.
Yeah, you just have to stay curious.
Right, stay curious, be responsible, and remain future ready. I mean, critical thinking should completely replace any fear you have of the digital landscape. Don't be afraid of the internet, just be smart about it.
I love that. Replace fear with critical thinking. But, you know, that does lead me to a final kind of provocative thought for you to mull over as we wrap up.
Oh, let's hear it.
So, as artificial intelligence gets more advanced, the sheer volume of synthetic media, these fake images and articles, is going to explode, right?
Oh, yeah, it's already happening.
Right. So, what happens when the volume of manipulated content completely outpaces human capacity to fact check it? Like when it takes an AI 1 second to generate a fake image, but it takes a human researcher an hour to debunk it. How will we agree on what consensus reality even is?
Wow. That is the big question, isn't it?
It really is. And it makes these verification skills we've been talking about absolutely critical for the future.
100%. It's why you have to build the habits now.
Exactly. Which is why we really want to encourage you to review the end of module study guide and make sure you complete the workbook activities. Putting this into practice is how you build that muscle memory.
Yes, definitely do the workbook activities.
And before we go, we want to acknowledge the reference materials that deeply informed today's discussion. This deep dive was informed by the concepts in Factfulness, The Lethe of Expertise, and Trust Me, I'm Lying.
Truly excellent foundational texts. Highly recommend them.
Absolutely. Well, we want to extend a warm and professional thank you to you, the listener, for your time and your commitment to learning with us today.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. Stay curious out there.
Keep verifying, and we'll see you in the next deep dive.
Yeah.